We're working backwards in our study of the Gospel of Luke and the birth of Christ accounts. This morning I was in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. Tonight I'm in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Lord willing, Tuesday night I'll be in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If we keep going in this direction, we'll soon be in the Gospel of Mark. But I think we'll be out of it pretty soon. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. This is right after the birth of Christ. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I said last week, I mentioned it somewhat briefly, that one of the oppositions to our celebration of Christmas being on December 25th is from this verse here. And they say that for the most part, in the winter months, sheep were brought in enclosures. They were under cover during the winter. Here they are out in the field. And therefore, this cannot be a winter scene. Well, I want to deal with that a little bit more in detail tonight because I think there's something interesting here as to the timing. That might be true for most cases, but not necessarily all. For one thing, it could have been a mild winter, and they would have been outside during that. Whether it was or wasn't, it's not substantive. However, around Bethlehem is where they were. Verse 8 says, and they were in the same country. The word country does not mean a political entity such as Israel or Babylon or Egypt. It literally means a region. You could translate it this way, and there was in the vicinity of Bethlehem shepherds that were keeping watch over their flock by night. That is quite interesting. One of the Jewish writings called the Mishnah, which is basically a history of how the Jews did things, said that sheep were around Bethlehem outside year-round. Okay. As I noted last week, Passover sheep would be in the field because they had to be observed for 30 days before the Passover. The Passover could come as early as February, which would mean that the sheep could be out in the field in February or even January, which is the coldest month of the year. So the fact that it was cold or wintry would not necessarily keep shepherds from watching over their flocks. But they have found that just outside of Bethlehem was a special watchtower called the Migdal Eder, which literally translated means the tower of the flock. The shepherds would watch over their sheep right outside of Bethlehem. I want you to take a little notice of this tower of the flock as it's used in Scripture. There we go. That's the one I wanted first. Genesis chapter 39, verses 19 through 21. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent before the Tower of Eder. What was the occupation of Rachel before she married, how do you know that? She was at the well getting water for the sheep. She was a shepherdess. Fitting that she would be at the Tower of Eder. Interesting. Micah chapter 4, verse 8 says, And thou, O tower of the flock, Migdal Eder, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem, a messianic prediction. And this tower of the flock, or Migdal Eder, is associated with the coming of Israel's Messiah. Well, a few verses later, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. A prediction that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of Christ. Associated with the Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock, where shepherds watched over their flocks. Now, is that conclusive evidence? No, it's not. But I find it too interesting to let it go by without at least considering it. So here are these shepherds. They're in the vicinity of Bethlehem, which could mean that it was a January, February, even December, or late November birth of Christ. And they were watching their flocks. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. They were affrighted. And the angel of the Lord, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, custom was, or the belief was, if you were to see an angel, death was imminent. If you were to see God, death was instantaneous. No man can look upon God and live. And here is an angel of the Lord. They thought, we're done for. And consequently, they were fearing greatly. However, the angel is bringing good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, in excelsis Deo. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Close your Bibles. At least put your finger in them and look at me. You know the rest of the story, right? Suppose you didn't. Think with me for a few moments what the shepherds could have said to one another, not what they did say. Let me suggest three different possibilities, each with a variation to it. Possibility number one. We're here right now, and our responsibility is to watch over the sheep. If we would leave, who would watch the sheep? This is our job. That's what we're called to do. We're responsible for these sheep. If we go away and a sheep wanders off, we can lose our jobs. If nothing less, we would have to spend a whole lot of time going after the sheep that are lost. We better stay here. Variation number two. We are here. We don't have time to go see the sheep. Tomorrow, when our shift is over, and it's more convenient for us, we'll go then and see what took place. That way, we can do what we have to do now, and we can put off what we don't have to do, at least immediately, until a more convenient time. You think that's possible? They might have said that to one another. Possible. Number two, we're just lowly shepherds, and they were. Shepherds were despised. They were the lowest rank of the totem poles, just a notch above slaves. They were ceremonially unclean. They could not go into the temple and be involved in the services there. For the most part, they were uneducated. For the most part, they were poor. They had a very menial job. We're just lowly shepherds. If we go to see this king, an offering would be necessary. And what could we give him? It's not like we carry around gold and frankincense and myrrh. What do we have? Wool. That's about it. We'd be out of place. We'd be a stick in the mud. Or a variation of that would be, why would God be interested in us? We're just shepherds. He's the king. King's going to want to be around royalty, around the intellectuals, the political leaders. And that's not us. He doesn't really desire us to be there. Possibility number three. How will seeing him benefit us or anybody else? Hey, look, Angel King told us what took place. Wonderful. I believe the angel. That's good enough for me. Why do I have to go put the sheep in jeopardy and see this thing? I'll just take it by faith. Variation. We already know without seeing. So why invest the time? What good will that do in sharing what we already know? Isn't the truth whether we have seen it or not? I think they could have said all these different things and come up with a myriad of excuses for not going. Fortunately, they went. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Two words, now, and even, we are going immediately and specifically to Bethlehem. Not taking any detours. We want to get there as quickly as possible, which leads to the third thing. And let us see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. Not when they could get around to it. They made a beeline into the town. And when they did, they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, oh, that's nice. Well, what do you know? Just like the angel said. That's cool. Well, it's been nice seeing you. We wish you good luck. We got to get back to work. And they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Hold on a second. They made known this saying that was told them. What's the saying? What didn't they make known? Hey, we got to see the king. We were the first ones there. And they were happy to see us. And let me tell you, here was this king, and he was about yay big, and he weighed so many pounds, and his mother Mary was wearing this, and Father Joseph was doing these things, and we got there to witness it all. Never said anything about their own experience. They made known the saying. What saying? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What benefit would that be? For at least 4,000 years, mankind was looking for a Savior. From the very moment that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God said to them, it would be the seed of the woman that would bruise the serpent's head. They were looking for a Savior. And now he's here. So why did they have to go to see this thing? They already knew it. The angel said so. What is more effective in evangelizing lost people? Let me tell you what is written in this book, or let me tell you what is written in this book that I have experienced to be true. Dave Sandler and I were talking after the service this morning, and I said, I marvel every time in my study when I see one passage of Scripture perfectly interact with another passage of Scripture, just as 1 Thessalonians 1 was a mirror image of Simeon this morning. That just boggles my mind. And I said, to think people will say, this is book written by men. I said, you've got to be an idiot to believe that. God wrote this book. The agency of man, he used, but God was the author of it. And it works all together. And you could say this to a person, this is the word of God. Well, that's your opinion. This is the word of God, and I have found it to be true in my life. That's not opinion. That's experience. Based upon truth. And they went, and they made the saying known abroad. What was the outcome? Verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard, first of all, that provided a theological understanding of all that they had seen as it was told unto them. What are we going to get out of this? A face-to-face confrontation with the one who would die for your sins. They came for the purpose of worship. What are the excuses people use today for not attending a worship service? Well, I got my job. And yes, unfortunately, sometimes vocations will keep us from a scheduled worship service. And that's legitimate. Unfortunately. But we start doing things like, well, I didn't get anything out of it. Really? Is that the purpose of worship? Or is that the benefit of worship? They came because that was God lying in that manger. Our theme for next year is going to be worshiping God in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God relishes our worship. And whenever we have a face-to-face confrontation with God, we always benefit. Always. And consequently, we become people who can benefit others as we share our things that we hear in worship and find to be true in our lives as we go out in the world. It bothers me that in this day and age, people put such a low value on the worship of God. And maybe that's why the world is in such a sorry shape that it's in. Well, this morning I challenged you to be a Simeon. Tonight I'm going to challenge you to be a shepherd. Taking every opportunity to worship that presents itself, even with difficulties, so that we're better able to do the job that we're called to do. Oh, by the way, one question was unanswered. Who will watch the sheep? You beat me to it. If you're going to go see the one who is the chief shepherd and worship Him, wouldn't He watch over the other sheep that's under your care? Father, we thank You tonight for Your ever care for us. Lord, may it never be said that life is too busy that we can't worship You. May we recognize the priority and the privilege that we have of coming together as a body of believers into Your presence, meeting with You to praise Your great and wonderful name. Because every time we do, we benefit from it. And therefore, we can be blessings to the world around us and make this world a better place in which to live. Lord, help us that we may worship You truly in spirit and truth. And just give us a sense of how great and wonderful You are as we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week. You got it?
Yes, I got it.
You can have it.
Luke Bryan here tonight.